Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning in the precious name of your Son. And we ask, Father, your Son having come in the same name and all the host of heaven named the name Jesus. We come before you, Lord, to ask your help this morning in a discourse that will take place between myself and a brother from Trinidad. Believing that the man has questions, Father, and not knowing how to ask the questions, they come off very aggressive, very strong, pointed. And so we ask, Father, that you would give us your spirit of grace and mercy in our heart as we would answer these questions for a brother. And we ask, Father, that in the answering of these questions, it might help all those who would have the same questions. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to continue with the discourse that we began Wednesday night. And Wednesday evening, I spoke on part one of a threefold discourse from an email I had received last Sunday afternoon from a pastor from Bethel Tabernacle in Trinidad concerning the Church Age book and some things that he purports to be errors, not understanding that the book was authored by Brother Branham, but he was thinking it was authored by Brother Vail. And so it's easy to attack a man if he's not vindicated, but when the man is teaching the same doctrine as a vindicated one, then basically they're not attacking the man, they're actually attacking the doctrine itself. And Wednesday evening, as I mentioned, we spoke primarily on the authenticity of the Church Age book as Brother Branham's book, which Brother Vail was commissioned to help put into print, but of which Brother Branham authored and Brother Branham edited the entire book. Therefore, for the rest of the discourse, where he uses the terminology, quote, Lee Vail, Church Age book, and then proceeds to give the page number, etc., I'm going to drop the term, quote, Lee Vail, since this is a blatant error in that the book was and has always been Brother Branham's book. So to make it, in essence, a true discourse, since we've already proven that he was in error as to the author and finisher of the book, I'm actually going to put William Branham, Church Age book. And you can see that his arguments are not with Lee Vail because Lee Vail didn't write the book. Lee Vail was only the typist, if you want to call it that, the grammarizer of the book. Therefore, wherever the name Lee Vail is used in this discourse already, having proven the book was written by William Branham and this pastor is making issue with the Church Age book itself, then it would be foolish to write the name of someone else who did not author the book and is not responsible for the contents of the book. That would be fighting the same argument over and over and over again with every argument that he has. Therefore, this brother's issue is with the message itself, not with Lee Vail. Because it matters not whether he is ascribing this book to Lee Vail or to Tom or Dick or Harry. You see, his argument is with the book and what it says in conflict with what he thinks to be right. Therefore, I shall rewrite the name William Branham where Dr. Lee Vail has been listed in this entire discourse from here out. Now, Wednesday night, we also covered marriage and divorce where our brother had a misunderstanding concerning a man returning to his wife that had left him for another man. Now, this brother could not understand that the woman leaving her husband for another man is actually her divorcing her husband. Because there is not an official piece of paper involved, he does not seem to consider it a divorce, just an act of infidelity. However, the act is what constitutes a separation. The act is what constitutes the being cut off, not a piece of paper. Brother Bram said, likewise, when you promise that woman, that is as good as being married to her. It's the vow that counts. And that is why still today there is so much looseness in the courtship process. Our brother Dalton Bruce, excuse me, I shouldn't say his name. I'll have to cut that out. Our brother's problem seems to be in trying to balance forgiveness for an incident of infidelity and a woman who actually leaves her husband for another man. This morning, I would like to deal with item two on his question list, where he is misunderstanding the wording in the Church Age book in reference to the evidence of being spirit-filled, and he thinks there is a difference between being spirit-filled and receiving the new birth. Where I think my brother might be having his problem is that he is looking for the following quotes from Brother Branham in the Church Age book, and he is thinking that they are saying that a person can be filled with the Spirit of God before receiving the word for the age. So let's read the statement first, and then we shall see where the problem lays. Uh, his, He has a wording called the baptism of the Holy Ghost and ear to hear, new birth 7, William Branham author, Church Age book, error number 2. William Branham, Church Age book, CAB 141-1. And every age we hear the same truth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. But only a Spirit-filled man can hear the revelation for that age. No other can. No, sir. They cannot, because they. That is exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 to 16. Now, to understand this, to the unlearned, this may look to appear here that William Branham is saying that only a Spirit-filled person can actually listen with ears and believe, but that is not what this statement from the Church Age book is saying at all. And in order to know what William Branham is saying here, we must ask ourselves, what does William Branham mean when he uses the word to hear? Because that is the nuts and bolts of our brother's argument here. He sees the statement of William Branham here, and he doesn't know how to reconcile it with other statements that Brother Branham makes, using Ephesians 1 and other scriptures, where we hear first, then receive the baptism of the Spirit. And this, in this sentence, it would appear to this brother, and I'm sure many others, that there is a contradiction. So we must ask yourself, how does Brother Branham define this word here that would bring this statement into continuity with some other statement that William Branham preaches that would seem to be seem to those who might be unfamiliar with Brother Branham's ministry to be not in sync. So the question is, the statement is made, but only a spirit-filled man can hear the revelation for the age. None others can. So you know, this brother, he's taking this and saying, okay, what this is saying is that only a person filled with the Holy Ghost can actually hear the message, as if nobody else can hear it. Now, that's not what he's saying. All right? Now, before you give an answer and show what Brother Branham means by the word hear, H-E-A-R, I'd like to read the next quotation of Brother Branham from his book, The Seven Church Ages. And again, we see another quote Brother Branham makes that our brother is not lining up with. Here, Brother Branham says, if the Spirit wasn't inside you, you wouldn't hear the truth and you wouldn't receive it by revelation. If you heard it every moment of the day. This was a sign of the indwelling Spirit in the day of the Lord. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the word and received it and lived by it. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men. Put a wrong interpretation on it and they went into sin. Now, here we see Brother Branham is becoming more definitive in what he's saying. He's letting us know that the carnal man will not hear the word in the same way that the Spirit-filled person will. All right? And so they will put a carnal interpretation to it, whereas the Spirit-filled person will understand it. So now we're honing in on what Brother Branham's saying here. Again, we look at the next sentence that is giving our brother some trouble. Brother Branham said in paragraph 140, page 144, paragraph 1, then we know that the Spirit has to be abiding in the person or he cannot receive the truth for that time. Amen. That's exactly correct. Now, I want you to notice here, it appears that the person has to have the Spirit first or he cannot receive something that comes his way. But that is not what this says at all. It is saying the same thing as when Brother Branham uses the word, unless they are Spirit-filled, they cannot hear. For the word receive means to take or acquire something given, offering, or transmitted, to get, to hear, or to see. Therefore, he is saying the same thing again in this sentence. So when Brother Branham says, unless he is Spirit-filled, he cannot receive the message, he's saying the same thing as if he said, unless he's Spirit-filled, he cannot hear the message. So the question comes, what does it really mean to hear? And what it means to hear is to understand. You see, two people can hear the same thing. One might understand what's being said. The other person doesn't understand. The one who does understand is Spirit-filled. The other person is not Spirit-filled. Now, the next sentence our brother is having problem with is Brother Branham, page 164, paragraph 3. The word always comes to a truly Spirit-filled. That is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And again, I think it is the wording here, as our brother looks to this as a person is filled prior to the word coming to them and thinks this is to be some gross error. But to set the record straight here, we know the scripture teaches us that the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. Now, do you think the prophet is void of spirit when this word comes to him? Or do you believe that he is spirit-filled when the word of the Lord comes to him? So too, when the word becomes clear to us, is because we have the same spirit in us as the giver of the word. You see, it's talking about the evidence of the new birth, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, the sentence becomes, again, in the next sentence, our brother points to the same thing as he says as the others before it. From page 165, paragraph 2, in every church age we hear these words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit gives the word, and if you have the Spirit, you will hear the word of your age, as those true Christians took the word for their age. Now he states then, our brother, he states, he that hath an ear to hear is evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism. That pastor states, William Branham, on the subject of the Holy Ghost in every age, employed two different scriptures to prove that a believer must have the indwelling Spirit, the article of Pentecost, before it can hear the Spirit by divine revelation and receive the message and messenger for the age. I positively state that a man does not have the Spirit. A man does not have to be Spirit-filled to hear the Spirit and truth for the age. With due respect, I challenge this error on the basis of the word and message of Brother Branham. Apostle Paul declared that a man is sealed or Spirit-filled, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and receives the article of Pentecost after he hears the word of truth, the gospel message of the age. And that's the end of his statement. Now, I responded by saying, first of all, I think if our brother does not understand what the word hear means from Brother Branham, and so he thinks it simply means to audibly hear the sound of, but if he understood what the word hear means, and as defined by Brother Branham himself, he could not be challenging these statements of Brother Branham. I can give you many quotes, pages of quotes from William Branham, where he tells us that to hear means to understand. And furthermore, our brother is referring to the baptism of the Spirit as an article of the Pentecost instead of referring to it as what it is, and that is an infilling of the very life Spirit of God, or the Spirit life of God. There is a difference between being baptized or anointed with power for service and then becoming and being baptized or given new birth in your soul. Not everyone who is baptized with the Holy Spirit is born again by that experience. Most, in fact, are only baptized or anointed with the same Spirit, with the Spirit, and that anointing goes only flesh deep in many cases. And some, it moves them in their spirit, but unless they have the germ of life in them to begin with by election, they could bathe themselves every hour in the Holy Spirit and still never come to a true, genuine new birth. Jesus told us in the parables, he said, the same rain that falls on the just falls on the unjust, Matthew 5:45. Well, the rain doesn't fall just one time. The rain happens over and over and over again, you see. And from leadership, Brother Ram said, you're either of God or you're against God. And the outward expression shows exactly what's on the inside, see. The cockaburr may, many of you think, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. See, it's exactly right. So what this brother doesn't understand is that the baptism is just the outpouring of God's Spirit. And, he said that his Spirit would fall upon all flesh, the just and the unjust. We find that the Bible says that the gifts would be given even to the rebellious as well. So, just because a person has a gift or just because a person is baptized with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean diddly squat, unless they have the germ of God in them. And that's what it all boils down to. So, we can argue all we want over semantics and over understanding of words, but the fact is that, if we have the Spirit of God, we will understand. And from key to the door, Brother Branham said, no man can understand the Word of God outside the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when a man says he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and disputes the Word being right, there's something wrong. You see, Jesus said in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Brother Branham said that word see means to understand. Again, from Identified Masterpiece of God, Brother Branham said, how can a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wrote the word, and a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then deny the word? How can the Holy Spirit in you deny its own word that was set forth for you? I can't understand it. It's got to agree with the Word. And if your spirit in you won't punctuate every one of God's promises with an amen, there's something wrong. You see, that's why I don't care who wrote the Church Age book. It's the same as everything Brother Branham said. You see? And so it doesn't matter if Tom, Dick, or Harry wrote it. It doesn't even matter if Brother Branham didn't write it himself. It's the same words. It's the same God word to us because God is the Word. So if you think that this is conflicting with this, then you're not born again. And that's what it all boils down to. And I'm sorry to say that, but because people are fussing over a book. That book is a keystone to this message. Brother Branham said that book was one of the greatest assets since he came on the field. And from the sermon, Discerning the Body of the Lord, Brother Branham said, Jesus once said that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or understand. And in other words, you can't discern the kingdom of God until you're born again. And from the message, Calling of Abraham, Brother Branham said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, what the right translation of that is he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Somebody be doing something, showing you, I just can't see it. You're looking at it, you don't understand it. And you'll never know what the kingdom of God is until you're born again. Then you'll understand what it is. And the Apostle Paul told us that the only way that you will understand the thoughts of God is to have the Spirit of God in you, and that is a new birth. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, look. What is a new birth? It's another birth, right? You have a physical birth, you come into this world, you know, there's blood and there's water and there's spirit. Well, when you're born again, there's blood and there's water, the washing of water by the Word, there's the blood of the Word, the life is in the blood, and spirit. In other words, you're getting another spirit, right? Well, what other spirit are you getting? You're getting God's spirit, God life. And Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Therefore, if you do not have his Spirit in you, how are you going to have those things revealed to you? For the Spirit, not a Spirit, but the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knoweth. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And if it is of God, then it had its source in God. Then it's a part of God, God's own life, his own Spirit, that he's talking about here. And we have that in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, it takes the Spirit of God in you to discern them. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And this same apostle said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So it is possible to have the mind of God, but as we have seen, you cannot have it without having the Spirit or God life in you. And Jesus said that this Spirit is the Word of God. He said, the words which I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. John 6:63. Now let's look again at this thought on the new birth, the quickening, quickening of you into the Word of God. And the Word of God releasing the very nature of God by His Spirit into your mortal vessel. In Ephesians 2 and 1 it says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Here Paul tells us that we were spiritually dead and had to be quickened, which means to be made alive. And we see in 1 Peter 3:18 that this quickening is performed by the Spirit of God. And in fact, God had to quicken His own Son back from death. There's 18 scriptures that says that God raised Jesus or quickened Jesus from the dead. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, this word quicken was translated from the Greek word zoopoi, which literally means to give life to or to make to come alive. So you see, it is the Spirit of God coming into you that brings or makes you alive to the Word. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, we read, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last man Adam was a quickening spirit. Therefore, it is the Spirit of God that He placed within us, or within His sons, that was released, or within His Son, that was released back on the church, that makes Him a quickening spirit. For Paul also tells us in Romans 8 and verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him, now, we must know who this Him is, And we know there are 18 times that God that tells us that God raised Jesus from the dead. So as Paul says, if the spirit of him, that's God the Father, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, again, that's God the Father, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So we're talking about the spirit of God being in you. Now, Brother Bram said, from Mary's belief, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the word see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say that they're born again and can't understand the message of God. They can't see the angel of the Lord. Their eyes are blinded, brother. Except a man be born of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that wrote the word will confirm the word. And the same confirmation of the Holy Ghost in you. You see what I mean? It will bear record of itself. Then our spirit bears record with his spirit because his spirit bears record of his word. The word of God is sharper, more powerful, Hebrews 4, than any two-edged sword, even piercing to the asunder in the marrow of the bone and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the mind. That's thus saith the Lord. The Lord's word, just exactly, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, appearing in his elected church. And again, from his sermon, it shall be even as it was told to me, Brother Branham says, anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See? Notice what Jesus then tells us here. They hear, but they're not capable of hearing or understanding. Remember in Matthew 13, Jesus says, the parable of the sower that sowed seed. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them on the outside, it's not given. You see? Then what are they hearing? If they're hearing the same thing you're hearing, but you're understanding, they're not understanding. What are they hearing? What is being said? They're not hearing what's being said. They're hearing something else. But what they're hearing what they want to hear. Notice in the following quote that Brother Brown tells us the same thing. To hear means to understand, and to see means to understand, but just because you look at it doesn't mean that you understand what you're looking at. And just because you hear with your ears does not mean that you understand what you're listening to. Brother Bram said in Questions and Answers, COD 59, 12, 23, 60. Now Jesus said, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Brother Bram adds, so see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looking right at it? Well, I just don't see it, see? I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it, see? You see, you understand it. You don't understand it. See is to understand. But with our eyes, you look at anything. But with what's on the inside of you, you understand with that. See? See with the eyes of God, you look. And again, in Questions and Answers, COD, Brother Branham said, what is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14, 26. When the Holy Ghost has come, see, he will show you things to come. See? See, he'll perfect it. Man-made won't do it, and he is the Word. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will identify himself in you with the Scripture. And that is a true sign that the Holy Spirit is in you because it is the Word. And from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon his Word, Brother Brown said, first faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. Then the believer hears it, he recognizes it, and he acts upon it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never. Hear means to understand. Look. Look at. Is something at looking. Look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. And Brother Branham also says from his sermon, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he says, look, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See, what God's trying to do. What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. It's not being part of a church group. It's not being in a social organization. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook hands, you've done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of ethics or code of rules, but Christ, the Bible. He is the Word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Now, this pastor goes on to say, he says, a sinner is not filled with the Holy Ghost as a prerequisite to hear the Spirit of truth. There are many who came from religions and organizations who were not Spirit-filled and heard the truth by the Spirit and received it by revelation. Well, to me, that's an oxymoron. How can you receive it unless it's quickened to you. You see, the Bible says that many received it with joy, but because there was no root, there was no source, there was no gene seed in them, and they enjoyed it. They loved it, the Bible tells us in the parable. But when trials came down because of the word, it was too tough, and they went away. Now, I responded. I said, I do not disagree with our brother, but our brother seems to have a problem being able to read. The quotes that Brother Branham spoke of in the Church Age book do not say that the person is filled with the Spirit prior to hearing the Word of God. It says that his hearing or understanding is evidence that he is Spirit-filled. And it's also evidence that he understands what is being taught. Now, let's put it this way. Two people come to a room. Brother Brown said every revival produces twins. Two people come. Two people hear it with their ears. Right? Both might receive it mentally. Right? And after maybe a period of time, one falls away. But the other one, the Holy Spirit, quickens that which he mentally understood, drops it into their soul. That's the new birth. That's the baptism. You see? Now, from his sermon, blasphemous names, Brother Ram said, and the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God, but if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word. No matter what anyone else says, it only recognizes the word, because in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and the word is still God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when the Word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. Upon this foundation, I'll build my church. Not upon a mental conception of church joining, mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When them streams of grace that has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See, that shows they would be against it, but it'll never prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing. Now, I've always believed what Brother Ram taught concerning that our faith begins in the mind first as a mental faith. And that is the faith that this brother is referring to, which is prior to the baptism of the Spirit. But Brother Branham also taught us that when the Spirit of God moves upon that word that we receive in our mind first, then he, God, anoints it, and once it is anointed, it drops into our soul and becomes a spiritual revelation to us, and that spiritual revelation is the new birth, and it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, the same person, in the same sermon of blasphemous names, Brother Brown continues, number one, coming to your mental faith right here, comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the word. Now, and number two, then, you'll have the Holy Spirit and will seal all these things into you as the Holy Spirit covers us. From your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you with Christ. Then you become one. Amen. Get this thing out of my way. It's talking about something else. You become one. See, you and Christ live together. At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Then that's a sealed unit of the Lord God. Now, and then you are vindicated and placed. When that time takes place, they become vindicated sons and daughters of God. And from earnestly contending for the faith, Brother answered, now, why, brother, it's by faith that you're saved. Is that right? But listen, in accepting of your faith, God confirms your faith by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what he's saying is that confirmation then, when it drops from here to here, that's God confirming your faith. When God anoints it here and it drops into here, what a person could have it here every hour of their life. Still go to hell. Like Brother Vail said, they've got it, but they don't got it. They got a mental faith, which is good. That's fine. Good church people. But if it doesn't drop into here, they're not born again. You see? If it doesn't become personal to you, then you're not born again. You just got a mental understanding. Now, from earnestly contending for the faith, said, why, brother, it's by faith that you're saved. Is that right? But now listen. In accepting of your faith, God confirms your faith by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you say that you believe and you don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you do not. Your faith isn't accepted in the sight of God. You've got a mental faith and instead of a heart faith. That's right. When you truly believe God, God's under obligation to pour the Holy Ghost on you. And then if he does pour the Holy Ghost on you, and you say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost too. Well, if you do, you're bound to believe in the supernatural signs and wonders because you're added to it. That's the faith. and from witnesses, Brother Branham said, you believe God and you say you believe God and haven't received the Holy Spirit, there's something wrong with your faith. Because God's under obligation to give every believer that repents and is baptized is under obligation to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to repent? It means to change your thinking. So you've got to have a right thinking in your mind before God can give you His Holy Spirit. Brother Branham said, coming to you first, God has to give you a new heart. He said, that's a new way of thinking. Then He gives you a new spirit, which is new desires to come out of that new way of thinking. Then He gives you His Spirit. You see? So you've got to hear the word first with your ears, let it come into your mind, then God anoints that, and He drops it into your soul. Now let's look at justification. What is justification? Justification is hearing the truth. It's a revelation. It becomes revealed to you in your mind. Right? Sanctification. What is sanctification? Your body begins to reflect outwardly or express outwardly what's in your mind. Then what's the baptism of the Holy Ghost? When God confirms that and quickens you to life. Amen. All right, now. God's under obligation to every believer that repents and is baptized and is under obligation to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And He's more willing to give it to you than you are to receive it. That's right. So there's something wrong somewhere. You just got a mental faith and instead of a heart faith. For God's under obligation to keep His word. He said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord of God shall call. That's true. And God's got to keep that promise. Yes, sir. Now from N... All right, now, the pastor continues. He says, he quotes Ephesians 1:13, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And John 5:24, verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, past tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, the apostles and disciples of Jesus heard, recognized, and accepted the message of and messenger of their age, and passed from death unto life, and they later went up to Pentecost. The prophet confirmed the same thing as follows. And I have no problem with this statement, as I do not see any conflict between what Brother Branham said in the Church Age book and what Paul is saying here, because they believed it's a mental thing. They had mental faith. Now, these next quotes of Brother Branham that our brother gives do seem to conflict with others, and I will also give. And I say they seem to conflict, but the Word of God does not fight its Word. So we will have to look at all of them from the same source to find our solution. Questions and answers are from a countdown. Brother Brown said, you have the new birth by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, by having faith and accepting Him as your Savior, that's birth, because you've passed from death unto life. Now, if you want to back that up, take John 5:24, he that's got life because he believes. And that same group had to go to Pentecost to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right, from St. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, past tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, from Hebrews part 2, Brother Branham says, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath, past tense, eternal life, has everlasting life. That's the new birth. You're converted. It means you're turned around, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ, subjects you to the gifts for service. Now watch, eternal life. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. You're a new creature right then. Now, what this brother's trying to do is saying the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are two different things. And I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham actually, before he understood what the evidence of the new birth is, he actually taught that the baptism is for power and for service. He did. And if you look at all the older quotes, that's what he taught. And we're going to show you at the very end where Brother Branham said, I had a change of thinking when the Holy Spirit corrected me. All right? Now, he takes a quote from You Must Be Born Again, from Brother Branham. Says, you say, what about the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham? The Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body for service. You see where Brother Ram's coming from here. But you believe unto eternal life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. Then you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body for manifestations of the gifts and so forth. But you believe to eternal life. And John 10:27, my sheep understand my hear or understand my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The apostle and disciples, this is the brother speaking here now, the apostle and disciples heard the voice of the Lord, the word, the message, and messenger of the age, and followed him, and they later went up to Pentecost. And then he quotes Matthew 16, 13 to 17, and he asks his disciples, saying, "Whom do you say I, the Son of Man, am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He continues by saying, Peter, the apostle, heard and recognized the Son of Man, Christ, the messenger of the age, and yet he did not have the Pentecostal article until a later date. Well, I don't even like using the term Pentecostal article because it de-lifes the baptism. It makes it an article. It makes it some type of a thing. Now, from 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16, he says is misinterpreted. William Branham used 1 Corinthians 2, 16, "We have received the Spirit of God, that we may know the things of God, which the Holy Ghost teaches. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, because they are not spiritually discerned." He says, William Branham assumed that the above phrase of Scripture is speaking of the Pentecostal experience. The emphasis of Apostle Paul is not the Pentecostal experience, but the indwelling Spirit. But he is emphasizing a work of grace that takes place before the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, he's not. He's talking about after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, this is where this brother just doesn't understand the two. From William Branham, he says, William Branham's error is his emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not the work of grace by the Spirit. This assumption is contrary to the work to the Word of God and the message of the hour. It is unscriptural and erroneous. It is misleading and detrimental to the message believers and has brought about much confusion and heresies among them. Well, I don't know where it's caused any heresies, except for maybe in this brother, because his misunderstanding of it is bringing heresy. You see? Now, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16, he says, is not speaking of being Spirit-filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost like the church received on the day of Pentecost before they discern spiritual things. It refers to a work of grace by the Holy Spirit through God's election and predestination of the believer. No man can come to me except the Father hath sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:44. All the Father has given me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will no wise cast out. Now, I'd like to respond to that by saying, now that we have read the quotes our brother uses for his evidence that Brother Branham was wrong in the Church Age book, let's look at what else Brother Branham taught us concerning the baptism and the new birth. Because I found while teaching nearly 2,000 message pastors and ministers around the world, that many will wrestle with the quotes of Brother Branham to their own destruction, just as they did with the Apostle Paul's word, as Peter himself tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Notice Peter says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them in these things, in which are some things hard to understand. But they that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction." So you see, it is not common that men, it's not an uncommon thing that men would wrestle with the Scripture. But the admonition that Peter is giving us is that we be found in peace. Scripture doesn't fight Scripture. And what a blessed thing that peace is. And that is what the devil will try to beat out of you every time. "But fear not, little children, it is the Father's good pleasure that he give you the kingdom." So peace and shalom. "Now when men shall revile you," Jesus said, "and say all manner of evil against you for my sake, blessed are you, and great is your reward in heaven." And Brother Vail gave me some strong advice lately. He said, "Brian, they came after Brother Branham and they criticized him. And they have come after me and they've criticized me, and they're going to come after you and criticize you. But just remember one thing, sovereignty. God is sovereign and he answers to no one. He has it all under control. He's got every hair in your head counted, and you won't lose out on anything. So peace. Be still." But notice that Paul says that these men are not at peace, but they are constantly on the move to try to wrestle with the Word of God. And I feel sorry for them because they have not known, or had they known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known who really wrote the Church Age book, they wouldn't be crucifying him. You see? Now let's look at some other things that Brother Branham says about the true new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit to place a balance with our brother's other quotes that we have found thus far. From the token preached after the seals, Brother Branham said, when God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the life of Jesus Christ is within you. Now that's true. Every theologian will have to admit that to be the truth. It's the new birth. You're born anew of the Holy Spirit. So Brother Branham here says, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the new birth. Now Brother Branham clearly states here, when God gives you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then when? At the time of the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, the very life of Jesus Christ is within you. And he calls it the new birth. There are those, these are the same words that he used in the Church Age book. So these are not inconsistent with his own teaching. So let's say all that the prophet says, my brother. Let's not pick and choose what best fits our own theology. Again, Brother Bram said in his sermon, hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word. Now, anyone knows that the seal of God is the birthright, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein you're sealed until the day of your redemption. When they were born again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the new birth. We know that. You're begotten of the Spirit. I'll admit that. But until you're born. Now, again, these words are not inconsistent with what Brother Branham taught in the Church Age book. He says the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a new birth. The Holy Spirit is the new birth. Now, if we call it a new birth, it is because a new life has been quickened into us. So what life do you think comes into you and is quickened or made alive in you if it isn't the Holy Spirit or God life itself? What is a new birth if it is not the baptism of the Spirit of God in the believer? Again, from his sermon, Spiritual Inspiration, Brother Branham said, if you don't understand what I mean by being born again, I mean someone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about someone who doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not understanding what he means by being born again. He said, that's the new birth. Would you raise your hand and say, I want to believe. I want to receive the Holy Ghost. So Brother Branham is telling this person, he says, now out there, if you don't understand what the new birth is, it's receiving the Holy Ghost. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, come and we'll pray for you. You see? Now, with this behind, let's move on to more of the discourse. Now, this pastor here, he says, saints spiritually discerned without the Pentecostal experience. Well, Brother Branham taught his children to discern. Every time they got in the car, he'd turn on a preacher, listen for 5 minutes, he'd say, now tell me what denomination this preacher is. There's clues. Just listen to them. They're going to expose themselves. Many saints of both the Old Testament and New Testament spiritually discerned, heard the truth, and recognized the messenger and his message, identified and confessed Christ of the age without the experience of Pentecost. Examples, Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, John, the Baptist, Andrew, Philip, woman of Samaria, Peter, the apostles, and Paul. They all did not yet receive the Pentecostal blessing, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given out. John 7, 38-39. All happened by the work of grace through the Spirit. What does that have to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost being the new birth? But before we address the examples of our brother that he uses below, I'd first like to say that I think our brother is confusing being filled with the Spirit with what took place on the day of Pentecost, where the people were anointed for service by the infilling of that Spirit. To say that there was no baptism of the Spirit until the day of Pentecost is to deny that Jesus Christ himself had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that the Spirit that came into Jesus had not yet been given out, as it says in John 7:39. But what Spirit then was it that filled John the Baptist in his mother's womb? Was it a different Spirit? John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Is that not what the Bible tells us? So don't tell me that no one was not filled with the Holy Spirit prior to the day of Pentecost, because it doesn't line up with Scripture. So then we have to ask, what happened at the day of Pentecost? God anointed the people for service. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, what Spirit was Jesus Christ baptized with, as we see in several scriptures, if it wasn't the Holy Spirit himself? Now, in the message, Elisha the prophet, Brother Branham said, and Jesus, the baptism that he had, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was in him, that came on him at the River Jordan after he was baptized in water. John bare record, seeing the Spirit of God like a dove coming upon him, and notice, then when he went up, he sent back that robe that he was wrapped in, the Holy Ghost, upon the church. Now, I have a question for you. What spirit did Jesus have when he was born? 30 years before he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. He had the Spirit of God. You see how confusing it can be to these people because they don't understand the doctrine. If you understand the doctrine of Christ, you understand that Jesus had God life when he was born. That's what the Spirit is. But he was anointed for service 30 years later. And he didn't do the service, he didn't do the miracles until he was anointed with that anointing. Okay? So we see that while Jesus was on earth after his baptism, there was not a release of that Spirit that was bottled up in him until after it left him in Gethsemane. But before Jesus was infilled with the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily, there are numerous examples of people in Scripture who were filled with the Holy Ghost. We will look at a few of them while perusing the examples below. Now, this pastor, he states Matthew 16:13-16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, well, Peter got this revelation. So if revelation is the new birth, then Peter got the new birth, but he didn't go to Pentecost yet. That's his thinking. Now, notice it was revelation that came to him. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is not baptism of the Spirit, but God is, but God giving a gift of revelation to Peter. All right? Now, the pastor also states Luke 1:41. "Elizabeth, mother of the Lord's blessed, is the fruit of the womb." That's what he says. Well, notice here that I want this brother to notice that he didn't lay out the Scripture for people to see what else was there. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that Elizabeth was filled with what? With the Holy Spirit. Now, I know how that is possible, but I would like for my brother to explain with his theology how that's possible if she didn't come up to Pentecost. Because he doesn't believe a person could be filled with the Spirit until the Pentecostal experience. Now, it says, verse 41, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Oh, well, brother, maybe there's a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. I don't think so. Again, let's look at an example, and again, we shall read what he feared to write, lest it might not fit with his theology. Now, this pastor states from Luke 2:25-32, "Simeon," and all he says about it is, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now, that is not all what happened that day, my brother. Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and that same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parent brought in the child Jesus to do him after the custom of the law." Now, I would like to ask my brother, what do you see here with this brother Simeon, which was any different than what was shown in Scripture of those who received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost? Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was led to Christ. He had a revelation that this was the Lord's Christ. You see? Don't you see that all of God's kids, Old Testament and New Testament alike, are going to have God life in them if they are in fact God's kids? God life is God life, whether it be in before or after the day of Pentecost. Again, let's read all the Scripture says about Anna as well. Notice our brother, his words. He describes what took place. This pastor says in Luke 2, verse 36-38, "Anna prophesied of Christ. She gave thanks unto the Lord." And that's all he says about her. But is that all what the Scripture says about her? Well, let's see what Brother Branham has to say about this woman, Anna. "From expectation," he said, "Oh, brother, sister, the very God that led Simeon in here tonight." That's right. "He can lead those. Hours after hour could I testify, but look, at that same time, there was an old blind prophetess by the name of Anna. Look at her. When Simeon picked up that baby Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit right to him, don't you believe it's the same Holy Spirit tonight? And look, winding through the crowd came an old blind woman, Anna, making her way through the crowd. No one told her, But she came right straight to where he was at, lifted up her hands and blessed God. The Holy Spirit was guiding her through the people. Not only that, but Brother Bram tells us that she was filled with the Holy Ghost. From birth pains, he says, and so then, here's Simeon, sitting there taking this persecution. He was the remnant, he heard John, and the little remnant of that day. And here he was sitting there listening to this scroll and knowing, and I mean knowing that John was coming because he was part of that remnant. The word was revealed to him. And all at once, when that baby come into the temple, then it was duty of the Holy Ghost to reveal that it was there. So he moved by the Spirit, come out of his little study, right down through the hall, hit that line of women, coming right down along that line of women until he got down to where that little baby was. And they was all staying away. From, picked up the baby in his arms and said, "Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And at that time, another one of the little elected in that day was Anna, a prophetess. She was sitting over there blind in the corner. She raised up blind. Here she come, led by the Spirit, among all the women and the people crowding into and out of that temple, till she come right straight to where the Christ child was. If the Holy Ghost could lead a blind woman to him, what about a Pentecostal group that's supposed to have their eyesight? I won't go any further, you know, from here on. And from birth pains, Brother Bram said, and Anna in the temple, blind, a prophetess that served the Lord by prayers, and then one day when she was in the Spirit, and Simeon had prophesied and said, an old man, he said, "The Holy Ghost told me that I will not see death until I see the Lord's Christ." Well, now, some of the priests, you know, poor old fellow, he's just a little off, you know. Why, he's got one foot in the grave and the other one's slipping. Why, let's just let him alone. He's been an honorable old man, but he's kind of, you know, but you see, what did he have? It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. That's the same thing that revealed to you people this afternoon. The Holy Ghost brought you here for some reason. To some, see, the Holy Spirit. So Brother Brown said, look, it's a no different Holy Spirit in them. That's what's in you. Now, from reproach of the word, he said, there's old blind Anna sitting in the temple. The Lord revealed to her, Simeon is right. Amen. She couldn't see daylight from dark, but she could see farther than many people today that has good eyes. She saw in the Spirit the coming Messiah was at hand, the Spirit moving in her heart. See what a little bitty church there was? Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, John, Anna, Simeon, 6 out of a million, or out of millions. Like in the days of Noah, 6 of them. That God dealt with every one of them. They was all in harmony. They all were together. Amen. See, I like that. See what a small church God has. Well, then we fit in pretty good. From led by the Spirit, Brother Brown said, her name was Anna. She was a prophetess. She didn't leave the temple. She stayed there day and night, fasting, praying, praising God, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit must have said, stand on your feet, Anna. She didn't have any eyes. She was blind. Here she come, weaving her way through the people, led by the Holy Spirit. What was it? What Holy Spirit was that? The same one that led you here tonight, still moving over the sons and daughters of God, led by the Spirit as she moved along. She come close to the baby, raised up her hands and blessed God. If the Holy Ghost could take an old blind woman in the corner and lead her to Christ, how much more should he lead us tonight? Led, moved. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And from Simeon and Anna, a message he preached about them, he said, and Simeon stopped. The Holy Spirit must have said, stop, Simeon. I'm going to show you a sign. And he turned his head. He runs, grabs the baby, holds it in his arms, and says, Lord, let your servant now depart in peace, according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. Then way over the corner was an old blind prophetess. Her name was Anna. She couldn't see. She was 84 years old. She fasted and prayed all the time. She too was Spirit-filled. Just then the Holy Spirit said, stand up, Anna. Here she come, blind, walking through the audience, led by the Spirit, didn't matter where she was going, couldn't see where she was going, but she was led by the Spirit, and the same Holy Ghost that's leading us tonight. Don't make any difference where you're going as long as you're led by the Spirit. And here she comes to Mary. She sees his face, she raised up her hands, the Holy Ghost come on her, and she began to prophesy. That same God is here tonight, led by the Spirit, sons and daughters of God. Do you want him to lead you to that same one tonight? And from deep calls to the deep, he says, then I think way over in the corner was an old woman. We're taught that she was blind. Her name was Anna. She was a prophetess waiting for the coming of the Lord. God's under obligation to show her the Christ. And the Holy Spirit moved upon Anna. And I could see that old prophetess that morning coming along through the building, blind, led by the Holy Spirit, moving along all along with those people coming down along that line of women and stopped right in front of the fountain, for she was led by the Holy Spirit. So you see, look, we could give time and time again. Next, our brother, he takes us to John the Baptist. And the pastor states, John 1:29 and 34, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. See, he's trying to make this thing about, well, you can receive the word, but still not be born again. Well, my brother, let me tell you this. John, according to Luke 1:15, it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. John was full of the Holy Ghost. You see, all these examples that he gave of people that didn't have the Holy Ghost, but they received Christ when he came, they had the Holy Ghost. No, they didn't go to the day of Pentecost, but they had the Holy Ghost. You see? And then he states some others. John 1:40-42, Andrew and Simeon, we have found the Messiah. John 1:43-51, Philip and Nathanael, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. John 4:19-25, the woman of Samaria, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. John 6:67-69, we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Acts 9:35, who art thou, Lord? Acts 9:17-18, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, now let's take the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. All right, Brother Bram drew a picture on the board. This brother doesn't understand because he's an outsider. But Brother Bram drew a picture on the board, and he said, so you see, those men were full of, they were all white, but there's a little dark spot in them. And when the word came in contact with them, they became all black. But he said, now that little woman, she was all black, but she had a little white spot, a little speck, a little germ of life in her. And when the word came to her, she became all white. You see? Now, anyway. So he says then, the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are one and the same. He says, Brother Bram's teaching in the Church Age book versus Brother Bram's teaching on tape. He says, Brother Bram's Church Age book says, now before we leave the subject, I want to make myself clear on what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is according to the Word. It is not according to me, and it is not according to you. It has to be according to thus saith the Lord, or we are falsely led. Amen. I want to tell you exactly what I mean. I mean for the sinner to come forward and be born again, which is to be baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost, which is exactly what took place at Pentecost when the church was launched. In other words, to be born of the Spirit is to be truly baptized with the Holy Ghost. It is one and the same. All right? And again, from Brother Bram's Church Age book, he says, what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It is a new birth. We are not born again by the Spirit of life of Jesus coming in, and then subsequently to that, the Holy Spirit comes in to give us power. Okay? In other words, it's one and the same thing. All right, now the pastor states, William Branham was very clear in expressing that the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are one and the same, and it's exactly what they received on the day of Pentecost. It was spoken as, thus saith the Lord, in imitation of Brother Branham. Well, see, Brother Branham wrote the book, so Brother Branham can say, thus saith the Lord. He's a vindicated prophet of God. The problem is his brother doesn't understand. And because he doesn't understand, he thinks the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth are two different things. And so it's in his mind, no matter what Brother Branham says, he can't receive it because he's got his own way about it. He's got his own thinking, and he thinks that the Church Age book was Levi and everything else was Brother Branham. He doesn't understand. Brother Branham wrote the Church Age book. You see? And when people get that in their mind, because that was a work, that was a lie started by a minister from Tucson, Arizona, saying that Brother Branham didn't write the Church Age book. That was Levi's book. So then a bunch of guys said, well, we don't have to believe what's in there. We don't even want it. And so they say what's in there is error. Because in the Church Age book, Brother Branham corrected all the teaching. Everything he taught in the later years was in that Church Age book. So they don't want to believe it. Now the pastor's statement is, in this case, people are so deceived by this error that they will lay down their lives for what they assume that the prophet taught, not knowing that it was thus saith William Branham. See, he's saying this. He's saying, thus saith Levi. But no, it's thus saith William Branham. It's thus saith the Lord. It's not thus saith William Branham. Nowhere on tape did the prophet use that statement of thus saith the Lord in reference to that error that the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are the same. He denied and condemned that doctrine as wrong. Nowhere in Brother Branham's teaching did he ever say it is thus saith the Lord that the new birth comes before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see? So I'll give him back his own words. He could not speak in the name of the Lord and then deny his teaching. It will make him a confused prophet. William Branham's erroneous teaching on this subject is a total disregard, direct opposition and conflict of what he himself, the prophet of God, William Branham, said, it contradicts the word from Genesis to Revelation. This is erroneous, unscriptural, off the message, and diabolically deceptive. It serves to keep people lukewarm in the Laodicea. They would not press to receive the true article of Pentecost and will miss the rapture. Most of the message would rest their faith upon this error of William Branham in the Church Age book, insomuch that if William Branham would acknowledge this error by saying, I was mistaken, he would bring deliverance to multitudes of souls. If he is convicted enough to acknowledge that he is wrong and the prophet is right, he would win more souls than he did in his lifetime. Would you and William Branham deny examples as follows? Jesus and the apostles, born again, then Holy Ghost baptism. Jesus was first born of the Word of God and 30 years later received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the banks of Jordan. Okay? John 1:13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of God, but of God. Okay? The apostles were born again. St. John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and truth. By hearing the word of God, they received eternal life, and they afterwards received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. That's what he says now. Now the pastor also says the baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from the new birth. Of course, then he uses the following quotes to clinch his nail down. From the countdown, he uses the new birth, you have the new birth by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, see? By having faith and accepting him as your Savior, that's birth, see? Because you've passed from death unto life. Now, if you want to back that up, take St. John 5:24. He that hears my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, see? He's got life because he believes. And that same group had to go to Pentecost to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, exactly. Holy Ghost is power for service. So when talk like you got to be born again and applying that to the Holy Ghost, many of the Methodists and so forth are wrong there. It cannot. It just won't cope to the scripture here. You get the thing sideways. It's got to take it the way that the scripture's got it placed out here. And the Holy Spirit is, you shall receive the new birth after this. What? No, you shall receive power, Acts 1:8. After this, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See? And they're already believed to eternal life and so forth, but they had to have the Holy Ghost for power. You shall be witness unto me after the Holy Ghost has come unto you, because the Holy Ghost is a witness of the resurrection, showing that you have become an adult. All right. Now, it's kind of confusing what Brother Ram is saying here. But apparently, our brother does not understand the difference between the new birth, which is the infilling of the Spirit, and the baptism of the Spirit, which is for service and power to anoint. And that's exactly what Brother Ram was saying in that quote. He's saying there was a difference between the new birth, and he said, and the power for service. All right. From Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And in Messiah, in the message, Elisha the prophet, Brother Bram said, and Jesus, the baptism that he had was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was with him, that came on him at the River Jordan. He was baptized in water. John bare record, seeing the Spirit of God like a dove come upon him. And notice then, he went up and he sent back the same robe that was wrapped in the Holy Ghost upon the church. And from Revelation chapter 4, throne of mercy, Brother Ram said, they were gathered in the upper room all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service came. What he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. In other words, Brother Ram said, look, it was power for service on the day of Pentecost. Now look, we have already established that Jesus said, he that believeth on me, which is past tense, hath eternal life. So they were already quickened by the word, but just waited for baptism of power that Brother Ram was speaking about here. But the real problem I see here is that this pastor just does not understand what eternal life is. I wish he did. But this whole discourse that he's been fighting the prophet's words unknowingly with the prophet's own words. Knowingly. Brother Branham said in Things That Are To Be, he said, now the only way that you can be a son of God or daughter of God, because you have eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. Only one form of eternal life, that was God. Therefore, to be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was even a molecule. See? And you are nothing but the manifestation of that gene of life that was in God as a son. Now you're expressed after his word has come in you to light up this age. You are the expressing God's life in you because you're sons and daughters of God. Therefore, you get what I mean. You see? You are now made. You're sitting in this church because your duty is to express God to this nation, this people, this neighborhood, where you associate. Wherever you are, God knew that you would be here because you have to be one of his genes or attributes. You had to be. If you've got eternal life, then it always was eternal life. And God, before there was a foundation of the world, knew that you would be here. And when the word or the water, the washing of the water of the word fell upon you, it was expressed in a being. Now you have fellowship with your father, God, just as you have with your earthly father. See, you are citizens of the king, not citizens, but you are children, sons and daughters of the living God, if it be that the eternal life dwells in you. So Brother Brown is saying, look, what you are right here is in your flesh. You are an expression of what God saw before the foundation of the world. And his life that was in you then is in you now. And that's why you're here. You're receiving what God has given for you. Now, from Christ identified, and bear with me with the time, but from Christ identified the same, Brother Brown said, now, therefore, if we have eternal life, we're giving you kind of 2 weeks worth of in one. Okay. Now, therefore, if we have eternal life, we have part of God in us. And God in us, if he isn't, then well, that's the only way that you could have eternal life. It isn't something that was manufactured and then given to you by some creed, or you lived into it, you grew better into it, or you became a better man, better woman. It's God himself in you. Just like that you're a part of your Father here on earth, you're a part of your Heavenly Father. And what you are, you're an attribute of his thoughts of you before the foundations of the world. You're expressed. He had to breed it into you and everything like that to get you to what you are, to make you what you are. I like that. God actually bred it into you. Of course, that's how life comes. Now, that pastor says Peter the Apostle was born again by a confession of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, given the keys of the kingdom of God and waited for the day of Pentecost to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He quotes 1 John 5:1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him that is also begatten of him. Well, I hate to differ with my precious brother again, but his example that he is using here, Peter, doing something to be born again, it isn't scriptural. Pastor, you're saying here that there was something Peter did to be born again. You said Peter, the apostle, was born again. But that's not what the scripture tells us. And we just read it here. It says, they which were born again were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it's not a confession that you give that makes you born again. You see? It's what God has already done. Now, Brother Brown said, from hearing ye his voice, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's birth. It's not a confession. And from thirsting for life, Brother Brown said, you might have a confession, your name on the book, and living a righteous life, and you're still a sinner. You've got to be born again. Not with a mental mind, but by something that's happened in your heart. See, it's got to be, friends. Never let the devil blindfold you to that. It doesn't come by intellectual conception. It comes by birth. And your life copes right with it. You must have it. So when this brother says that Peter was born again by a confession, he's absolutely contrary to both Brother Branham and the Scripture. In John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, the Greek word for received is the Greek word lambano, and it means to have experience or to take into oneself. And it is these that truly experience him. They are the ones, he says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So these are believers predestinated from the beginning to believe and to receive him. And he is the word. They believe his word and they believe in his name. And to them he gives power to become sons. Now the word power used here is not the Greek word dunamis, which speaks of great miraculous power, but rather the Greek word exousia, which means the power of choice or the power to make a right decision. And the word to become was translated from the Greek word genomai, which means to generate or to come forth into manifestation. Therefore, to them that believe him and openly receive him, to them gave he the ability to make a right decision and to become what they were meant to be in the first place. In Galatians 4:6, it says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. You see, the only one that can be born again are those that are predestinated gene seed of God. All right? Therefore, if a man is left up to his own choosing, he will go the way of death. God has always given him, God has granted him the ability to know and understand. And this ability to make a right decision concerning the doctrine of Christ is not for everyone. For Jesus told Nicodemus, except that ye be born again. And he said, they weren't born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see? So he's talking about the new birth, and the importance of that new birth is that God gives him an ability to know and to understand the kingdom of God and what it's all about. Well, finally, this passage says, the prophet of God confirmed the same by many outstanding statements that which are in opposition to the teaching of Brother Branham himself in the Church Age book. His teachings were based on the scriptures above, but Brother Branham's error was strictly based on Pentecostalism and Baptist doctrine. No wonder why he had to force fit such erroneous doctrine into the message. The prophet emphatically stated that he did not believe nor teach the doctrine, that it was wrong, and that he can prove that the new birth and baptism of the Holy Ghost are two separate, different experiences. I believe him. Brother Vail teaching is contrary to the truth as preached by Brother Branham. Can be clearly seen in the following quotes, and he gives a few quotes where Brother Branham says, I teach and believe can sufficiently prove by the scripture that you're born of the Spirit and then baptized in the body of by the Holy Ghost. And he says, I don't believe that being born again, this brother says, again, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, he didn't believe the message. Anyway, but he quotes Brother Branham again, I don't believe in being born again in the baptism is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's your being born again. We're reborn by the blood. Blood cells come from the life. Life cells come from the blood. You're baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body, but you're not born by the blood. All right, and end of his quotes. Now, by the life in the blood, which is the Spirit, I'd like to add. Now, I will admit that here that I have a little trouble following what Brother Branham is saying in this particular quote because it seems a bit confusing. Because when you look at the entire quote, he's speaking against what the Jesus only believe, and they believe in being baptized unto regeneration. And then Brother Brown talks about the blood cell, but then he carries it over to the life that was in the blood. And life has got to be spirit, which is life. So I believe that what he's saying here is the baptism of power is not the new birth, and I think we all agree on that. But I found another quote where Brother Brown said after the seals, where he reads it a little bit better. He says, now notice when a baby's born, there's three things that constitutes a birth. The first thing is a normal birth. You adults, listen close now. The young children will never catch it. But let's see. The first thing is a normal birth is water, then blood, then life. Now, that's the same thing that constitutes a new birth, water, blood, and spirit. The element that came from his body is what makes his body. See, it comes from his body, is a material that makes to make his bride, because Adam had his bride taken from his body, Christ has his bride taken from his body, and when Christ died, there was three elements that came from his body, water, blood, and spirit, justification through believing, water, sanctification through the blood, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, this last great step must come into the perfection, and the Holy Spirit has to live in that church so perfectly, it'll make the head and body unite together. See, and that's the body. He is the head of the body. Now we find that he promised in these last days that would do it. So in that quote particular, Brother Branham is not saying it's not just blood. You're not just born by the blood and then baptized by the Spirit. It's the same thing. So this is after the seals. The other was back in 59 or 1960, before the seals. All right. Now, that ought to settle it right there. Not birth by blood only, but by water, blood, and Spirit. I can spill my blood and that isn't birth. But neither can I have birth without blood. But if I have not spirit, then what life have I got? None at all. Just blood and water. Seems to me that when water was turned into blood in the plagues of Egypt, it brought death and not life. So without spirit, there is not a new birth. And let me tell you that all the quotes our brother have given were preached by Brother Branham before the seals brought out the clarity to the various points of the doctrine. Now, this brother continues to say the new birth is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He quotes Brother Branham, and born again does not necessarily mean that now that you've got the Holy Ghost, preached in 62. And of course, this is, then he says, but the new birth is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The scripture doesn't support it, I don't think, to my way of seeing it. Okay? To my way of seeing it. Well, the Holy Ghost changed his mind. And of course, the statement is true that a born again does not necessarily mean that you've got the Holy Ghost. Because you could be born again to corruptible seed and not have the Holy Ghost, according to 1 Peter 1:23. Now, the pastor, he states, remember, I believe that Martin Luther, he's quoting Brother Branham, Martin Luther, the Holy Spirit, absolutely, maybe not portion of it today, but because I wasn't giving out. I never thought there was a person believed that like me till this morning. I heard Charles Fuller. I was going to speak. He believes that too, that the new birth is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, Charles Fuller was wrong. And at that time, Brother Branham was wrong. Because I'm going to show you what Brother Branham said he changed. Now, from his Sermon on the Token, Brother Branham said, when God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the life of Jesus Christ is within you. This is preached in 63:11-28 after the seals. Now, that's true. Every theologian will have to admit that to be the truth. It's the new birth. You're born anew of the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Branham clearly states that when God gives you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then, when, at the time of the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, the very life of Christ comes into you. And he calls that the new birth. These are the same words that are used in the Church Age book, so these are not inconsistent with his own teaching. So let's just say what the prophet says and say all what he says, not just pick and choose what will fit our own theology. Again, Brother Branham said in his sermon, hearing, recognizing, and acting, he said, Now, anyone knows that the seal of God is a birthright, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. When they were born again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a new birth. This is 1960, before the seals. So there's something going on here with Brother Branham. When in 1960, he says one thing. 1960, he says something different, or appears to be different. All right. Now, I don't believe we have a prophet of God that is so confused that he's arguing with himself. So let me read the rest of his disclosure, and then we'll just settle it with a few more quotes from Brother Branham. So let me just read the rest of this brother. He says, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a different act from the new birth. And then he quotes Brother Branham Hebrews part 2, where Brother Branham says, in the time we receive the new birth that takes place, and this preached in 57, is this the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or is there a later baptism or a filling? And now that's a good question. No, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you then have the new birth. When you believe in the Lord, you receive a new thought, a new life, but it isn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've got the new birth when you believe. You've got eternal life. It's a gift of God that gives you through sovereign grace by accepting the gift and God has given you. See, he that believes my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. That's the new birth. You're converted. It means you're turned around. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ, subject to this gift for service. It doesn't make you any more a Christian. It just puts you into the body of gifts. Well, see, so Brother Branham's looking at Pentecostal experience or the baptism in such as a endowment of power. He's not looking at it as the filling. He's not looking at baptism as filling. He's looking at baptism as empowering. All right? Now, then he says, eternal life in baptism. You say, what about the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham? The Holy Ghost baptizes you in the body for service. But you believe unto eternal life. He heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, hath eternal life. Then you're baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body for manifestations of the gifts and so forth. So you see, Brother Branham is looking at this from the point of empowerment. Now, he calls this brother says, pyramid teaching, born again, separated from baptism. The prophet's teaching on the pyramid should dissolve every doubt on the subject of the new birth in relation to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The picture is worth a thousand words. He taught his revelation, depicted it in the form of a pyramid, placed the born again faith at the bottom of the pyramid and the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the top of the pyramid. The virtue divide both experiences. If a man is ignorant after knowing the truth of the message, then he is willing. And this is where the brother is actually wrong, because when you look at that pyramid, that's the Church Ages. That's not the person. Brother Branham said, when you are born again, all those seven virtues are already in you. You don't get one, then you get another, then you get another, then you get another. They're all there by the new birth, by the baptism. So that's where this brother is actually in error. And that's actually a Seven Thunders teaching that he's teaching there. Born again by faith, okay? From Statue of Perfect Man said, notice you must be born again, and when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith, etc. You must first be born again, and when you're born again, you have faith, you believe the word, born again, it produces faith. Well, see, Brother Branham talks about first there's a mental faith. We've already gone through that. Then the Holy Ghost comes upon you in the two baptisms of the Holy Ghost. He quotes Brother Branham from Statue of Perfect Man. Then Peter here says that seven things, faith, virtue, etc., etc., etc. And just, it's another, again, when a man possesses these kind of things, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. That's from Statue of a Perfect Man. Brother Branham, later in that same sermon, says when you're born again, you have all those things in you. Now, he says, must be born again, then filled with the Holy Ghost, as brother believes. And of course, he quotes Brother Branham, you must be born again. And when you're born again, then you're filled, then you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. And born again, then a candidate for baptism, etc. And let me just sum up in this. Now that we have read all of his quotes, let's just read a few more of what Brother Branham says. From Position of Christ, Brother Branham says, then God gave his children new birth by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They came right near it when they cleanse themselves up through Nazarene pilgrim holiness, then come into the experience of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the gifts. They went forth speaking in tongues and interpret tongues and given gifts of healing, miracles, and signs and wonders begin to accompany them. Now, they're children. They're God's children. They're positively in Christ. They become children by birth, and the new birth and the conversion itself is the Holy Ghost. You're not even converted till you get the Holy Ghost. So you see, you're not born again then until you get the Holy Ghost. And is this a confused prophet speaking out of two sides of his mouth about two different baptisms of the Holy Spirit? Or is he speaking on one hand, the true baptism, which is the new birth, and then on the other hand, a baptism for power and service? You see, being baptized in the Holy Ghost is not a one-time experience. If it was, then why would this prophet of God say that you could be baptized with the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still go to hell? When Jesus said the rain that falls on the just and the unjust, he's not speaking of a one-time rain. He's talking about the rain which occurs often. Okay? Now, this brother then says, I trust that, Brother Kosorik, I trust that your response, in your response, will be guided by your published policy and stay with the word and message of the prophet as promised. I will appreciate that you answer me in a scriptural manner and orderly fashion. William Branham's writings and presentations are very unique. I expect that you will imitate this pattern since you are deputized to act on his behalf. He's actually talking about Brother Vail. Answering questions, visiting all the continents of the world, and addressing large groups of ministers. May I admonish you as a brother and fellow minister to carefully and prayerfully consider these objections and respond only according to your established policy, the word, and the message. You would be honored by your multitude of ministers if you choose to let them read this Seventh Church Age discourse in the future. And, you know, when I actually was calling the brother's name last week, you know, and letting, but I've decided what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to take his name off. The reason why I'm going to take his name off is because I think he, and I didn't see this till the end, he really wants his discourse to be put out there to all the people that I've been teaching, as if he's got some great thing. But I've shown you, and you that were here Wednesday night, you saw how ridiculous the statements are and how we showed how the brother, you know, just does not understand the message. And therefore, I don't want to put his name on this because I don't want to give him, you know, any credo. And now, my brother, I'm going to say this. Now, my brother, I will not place it up sometime in the future, but now, since I'm very confident that we have exposed your errors to the world as you tried to in vain to expose the Church Age book as a tool of Brother Vail's, when in fact it was authored by William Branham, edited by William Branham, and therefore I have already posted this on the website for the brethren in 183 countries to see, so they will not be confused on these issues, and so they will not be caught up into the lie that says the Church Age book with Brother Vail's. Therefore, we don't have to reconcile it to the other things that Brother Branham taught. But we have already proven by his own words that William Branham is the author of the Church Age book and its chief editor as well. Your argument that says because Lee Vail typed the pages that he is the author is the same lie that is used against the Bible when they say that it was written by men. Therefore, it is not the word of God. God is not the author of the Bible, they say. And your assertion is that because it was written by men, mere men, therefore it cannot be God's word. But mind you, my brother, you are in danger of fighting God with your attitude concerning the Church Age book. You would do well if you would check your facts before you publish your mean-spirited lies against a man who has labored under the burden of doing the work of a scribe commissioned by William Branham himself and subjected himself to every word written under the scrutiny of the prophet himself in direct communication with that prophet. You yourself never knew the prophet nor anyone who personally sat at his feet. So this pastor says, if you keep your promise of your established policy, you cannot deny such exposition of errors as set forth in this disclosure, in this discourse. Please do not quote to me a bunch of quotations about the prophet's commendation of Brother Vail. I am familiar with such and appreciate them. I was reminded of it in your first reply letter to me on the subject of the seventh seal, seven thunders, which will make up the continuation of this discourse. Such quotations would not defend my reputation of errors injected into the Church Age book by Dr. Vail. Well, it wasn't by Dr. Vail because it was written by Brother Branham. Anyway, he quotes 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then Luke 14:11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Please be advised that the third part of this seven church age discourse will be completed in due course of time. I would appreciate a reply as soon as possible. I know that you're a very busy servant of God with an international ministry, but I think that this is most important to message believers internationally. And then he ends his statements. And I agree that it is important to stop the mouths of them who would profess lies about the authenticity of the church age book, and I hope this discourse will do just that. Finally, I would like to say that all the quotes our precious brother gave us to qualify his arguments came from pre-seals sermons. Now, I am not one who says that you don't have to believe anything before the seals. That is ludicrous to even think so. However, that does not do away with the fact that Brother Branham taught a certain thing in a certain way after the seals, which was different from before the seals, that we should then take note and teach the same thing that he taught later. Therefore, I do believe that we must qualify pre-seals quotes with post-seals quotes where there seems to be conflict. If Brother Branham taught something and changed his teaching, then we had best change ours as well. As an example, Brother Branham in early years taught that the evidence of the new birth was love. And in fact, he and Brother Vail spoke for 4 hours about that subject because Brother Vail thought it was something else. Brother Branham showed Lee where he was wrong, and then the Holy Ghost showed Brother Branham where he was wrong. Now, from Broken Cisterns, Brother Branham said, today I was talking with my good friend, Dr. Lee Vail, who's present now, and he's quite a theologian. And so we usually have some pretty good discussions on the Scripture. Very smart. And he asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Was it speaking in tongues? It's been many years ago. And I said, no, can't see that. He said, neither do I. Said, though I've been taught that. He said, what would you think would be the evidence? And I said, the most perfect evidence that I can think of is love. And so we got to talking on that, and then I thought, that sounded pretty good, so I just held that. If a man's got love, but one day the Lord in a vision straightened me out, and he said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who could receive the word, neither love nor speaking in tongues, it was receiving the word. So with this in mind, brother from Trinidad, I hope, brother, that you and I can still love one another, although we have gone nose to nose in our discourse. And it is possible, if it is possible for even a prophet of God to teach wrong concerning this subject and hold to it for a period of time until the Lord straightened him out, then why call people names just because they might not say it the way that you think it should be said? And thus said, I am asking you to take all the derogatory remarks that you have made about Brother Vail and others from your website and do as the Scripture teaches us to do. And finally, an admonition to all who might read this discourse. Brother Branham said from Shalom, he said, if I can't disagree with a man sharply and still love him, because if I disagree with him and just to be disagreeing, I'm a hypocrite. I ain't fit to stand up here. But if I disagree with him because of fellowship and love and understanding, no matter what he does, he's still my brother. I stand with him. Yes, indeedy, that's exactly right. If that isn't in my heart, then God take me out of the pulpit. I'm not fit to be here. And from questions and answers, Brother Brown said, but on regeneration, now there's where I differ with the Oneness Brethren. And you Oneness Brethren who hear this tape of questions, if it would fall into your office of your house or among the people that's Oneness people, don't misunderstand me now. That just because we disagree, me and my wife disagree, sure we do. I tell her I love her and she says I don't. But I do. So then we certainly disagree. But I'm telling you that we sure get along all right. Now notice, maybe I don't show enough signs to her of that I love her, but I'm out here preaching and then come in home and get my fishing rod and go fishing, see? But down in my heart, I love her. Well, she takes the fact that he comes home and he goes out fishing again, that he's not spending time with her, if she takes it that he doesn't love her. But he says, I do love her. And so we have a disagreement. I love her, she says I don't love her. All right, and where I think Pentecost failed, Brother Ann said, if it ever gets to the place that I couldn't put my arm around my brother that's working for the kingdom of God and recognize him as a brother, as my brother, I feel I'm backslid. Amen. Sure. I'd be scared to stand on the platform and face evil spirits to know that I had envy in my heart against my brother, no matter who he is. That's trying to preach the gospel of Christ or live Christian life. If we disagree a million miles upon theology, if he loves the Lord Jesus, he's my brother and it's my sister. And we've drawn those lines. And if you can't love your brother who you can see, how can you love God who you can't see, who you've never seen? And brother, when love goes out, God goes with it, for God is love. And you can never get anywhere without divine love. And as you love one another, you love God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this discourse because it helps us to really dig in and to prove the scripture, to prove that the prophet who wrote the church age book, he edited the church age book, said the same things. And we see throughout this discourse, Father, there were some few quotes, Lord, that were taken before Brother Branham preached his seals when his own mind was not yet made up on the true evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But yet we saw him in the later quotes qualify those, and in the church age book he nailed it down. And so, Father, we just commit this sermon into thy keeping. We pray that those that would hear it would truly be blessed. And we just ask, Father, that the spirit of contention would dissolve in this message, and that brothers could truly have nose-to-nose discourse and still come out loving each other. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.